A clear and starry sky shines over the salt-scattered parking lot outside of the Little Dipper, Kepler's requisite dive bar and late-night grill. This establishment once catered to the scientists of the Green Bank Telescope, who sought leisure after a long shift of watching the heavens. Today, it plays home to a far seedier clientele, a group that favors its own name for the bar, the Hornet's Nest. A trio bearing the Hornet insignia stands watch over the entrance to the bar, harshly critiquing one another's motorbikes while catching a smoke in the chill February air. One Hornet, the largest among them, tells a joke too foul and convoluted to repeat. His smaller subordinate bellows out a hearty laugh. The third, though, is distracted by a figure approaching them from across the parking lot. This Hornet boss, known as Hollis, is transfixed as the figure enters the bar, their footsteps crunching through the half-melted slurry that forms a moat around the front door. It is 1:17 a.m. Their associate's uproarious laughter fades into the background. A silence floods Hollis's mind. Their face goes hot and numb, their heartbeat loud and erratic. They are not startled by the screams coming from within the bar. In some way, they expected them. A bloody body smashes through the window beside them, toppling over the parked bikes outside. Hollis charges against the tide of fleeing patrons. Their lieutenant, Keith, lay unconscious and trampled on the floor. Above him, the figure stands victoriously on a shuffleboard table. Viscera pours through its gnashed, smiling teeth. In its hand, its claw, maybe, the figure holds a hornet too mangled to recognize. Hollis reaches above the bar and grabs a baseball bat. It is 1:20 a.m. Hollis's bike weaves through the trees of the Monongahela Forest in pursuit of the figure. Even on foot, this being outpaces them. The bike skids to a halt as Hollis reaches a clearing in the woods, a large, circular gap among the blanket of pines. They scan the perimeter. They catch their breath. They turn on a dime and depart in the other direction, fast away from an invisible doorway to a far-flung world. Welcome back to the Adventure Zone Amnesty, your number one source for news about amnesty, the whole idea of it. People are forgiving a lot of people all over the world these days.
Are they?
Not especially super very much.
Doesn't seem to be the case.
Griff and I have a big important announcement.
Okay.
I've been thinking about it for almost 2 weeks now, and I've picked a name for the flying dagger that I got in the last episode.
Oh, yeah. The trades, Trav, have been sort of a buzzing about your dagger.
I know. Listen, and I'm ready. Big reveal. I've nicknamed it Snitch.
Okay.
Snitch.
Because it zooms around like a golden snitch. I should say, that's not a name Travis would pick for it. That's the name Aubrey would pick for it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I expect more from her than I do from Travis.
It's not spelled like that. It's spelled differently.
Four N's.
Yeah.
Snitch.
Snitch.
There's a Y and an A in there.
I have an announcement as well. I think in the interest of us working together and just having a good family relationship and a show, we put the whole Creps Crepes controversy behind us.
Yeah, the trades have been buzzing about this one too.
Yeah, because I was extremely right. And you guys were harsh and mean.
Oh, I see.
And I think we need to put that all behind us and not even mention it again.
See, I saw one trade and the headline was Clint McElroy, old brain? And I thought that was mean. I think, so we know what Aubrey has kind of been doing since the Lunar Interlude. I don't want us to like do a whole lot of like individual scenes because that's basically what the Lunar Interlude is for. But like, I think there's some things that we need to like firm up before we get into the next hunt. Like, for instance, like I want to know what Billy's like living situation has been. I know he was sort of rooming at the Cryptonomica. I didn't know if that was a permanent solution. I don't know if Duck or Ned gets custody of Billy, your goat friend. Okay.
Not it.
I think he's made a home. I think he kind of fits in. I mean, in his Ryan Gosling phase, because, you know, Neil Armstrong, did we go to the moon? No, not really. The whole astronaut outer space kind of thing.
Wait, what are you talking?
Is his dad talking or like the conspiracy theorist Ned Chicane?
What is going on?
Because I hope this isn't the big reveal that our dad, Clint McRoy, who we've known for many years, doesn't believe in the moon.
He's a fucking flat earther.
I actually am the only one of us who watched it on television, and it was very bad special effects. I mean, it did not look real.
Oh, my God. I don't know about all this,
okay,
Dad.
So
we're going to get some letters.
Dad's a flat earther. What the fuck is Billy up to, though? The OG question.
I think he's just wandering around the Cryptonomica, and every so often somebody will come in, and he'll offer him pizza.
Okay, I have a question for you. Does he eat trash?
I mean, pizza's not good for you, Justin. Is that what you mean?
You know that's not.
Are we leaning into the cliche? Are we, you know, eating the
cliche of a goat man that looks like Ryan Gosling and eats trash?
I guess that's not very cliched at all, is it?
No, this is a vibrant, rich world.
He eats food adjacent trash. Okay. I don't think he's eating any RC cola cans, but a banana peel. Yeah, I'll fuck with that. Some shoelaces. That's basically cloth spaghetti.
Has he learned any more language, do you think?
Absolutely not. I feel like I can put my foot down on that one.
It's not about learn. I magically gave him the ability to say like six words.
But only kind of good, yes. Aubrey, what is life at like Amnesty Lodge been like? Any updates? I feel like in the last arc especially, we didn't spend a whole lot of time there. We spent a lot of time in the basement sort of talking to Spooky Thacker, but not much.
I would say it's the kind of thing where like everybody's... both because it's like the post-holidays, you know, still very gray and cold, but there's not like a big celebration-y thing to look forward to.
Yeah.
Plus, like how much shit has been going on and just also kind of a vibe. I think everybody's on edge. Everybody's a little tense, but if you ask them like what's wrong, they couldn't exactly put their finger on it. There's just kind of a... negative hum in the air, you know? I would say everybody's just on edge.
I think a lot of that probably comes from Mama and Barclay, who the more you all like spend time with them, the more you sort of pick up on the fact that the way that the abominations are sort of changing and getting sort of more, the last one could change time, like the more sort of things they learn and the more direct their influence like on you is, rather than just being like some mindless monster wandering in the woods, like the more they are hunting you, the more I think concerned they are getting, because it's breaking like this decades-long pattern.
Well, and not only that, I also think like between, because Aubrey, I think, has since told Mama about touching the crystal. We kind of hinted at that at the end of the last arc.
Yeah.
And then I also think on top of that, like, Duck bringing Billy in and, like, them having... Do they know that we talked with the Mothman? Cover that effectively?
I think so. I think you did drop that bomb.
So I just think, like, also, instead of things becoming more... cohesive, it's starting to feel a little more chaotic and like, you know what I mean, of like, in, I would imagine that in the past when they've recruited new members, it has made things easier, like smoother, as they brought in more help, and we have not necessarily done
I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Ned, have you done any like scouting? I know that you, Clint McRae, have been doing some soul searching about like your position on this sort of ethical dilemma you find yourself. It's not much of a dilemma. your former con man, you know, burglar partner, your co-burglar has asked you to do a burgle. That's not so much of a dilemma as a bad time opportunity.
Yeah, it's obvious that the person he wants Ned to burgle is Mama.
Right, right.
And I don't think Ned... is comfortable with that. I think he's really been given a lot of thought. Maybe was casing the joint just a little, just to
sure.
see.
Old habits and what
old habits.
You.
Yeah, using the Crepes by Monica food truck, you know, kind of spying, seeing a possible, you know, entry points. And
what you have to understand, Crepes? That would be like... That would be like in Home Alone when they first are like driving around the neighborhood scouting out all the houses. If they were driving around in a van that said "The Wet Bandits House Christmas Time House Robbers of Vacant Homes."
Well, yeah, but see, here's the thing: Crepes by Monica. That was a thing that was in town for a while. And
all
so-
right, you need to decide right now, Mac. You said in the last episode you're going to repaint it to say Cryptonomica. So you need to decide if that fucker says Crepes by Monica or Cryptonomica, and you can't be like a Velcro thing that you tear on and tear off.
There will be narrative.
What does it say?
There will be narrative and mechanical repercussions for your decision.
Also, speaking of casing joints, the one negative tag you picked for this vehicle was obvious.
Yeah, it's not good.
Literally, you've literally picked the one activity you cannot do in this
you
vehicle.
Would do better to just crash it through the wall and pretend it was an accident.
Hey, got any valuables? Okay. All right. Okay. Since Rodney, the cat that does his assistant, Randy.
Oh, Kirby.
Kirby. Yeah. Good God.
Didn't see much of him last arc either.
Kirby is artistic. So okay. I say he had Kirby change Crepes by Monica into Cryptonomica.
Okay. The pact is sealed.
Right. And that was the last time they said the C word.
And we can move on forever. Duck.
C word being crepes.
Right, I think. Gotcha. We shouldn't say any iteration of the C word, I think, on the podcast. And Duck, what's...
No more C words.
Is what's been going on with you and Leo? Obviously, your powers have diminished, and there's some concern there, but like... You two are the, you know, only surviving members of this ancient order of chosen champions. And I imagine that's changed the dynamic a bit.
Yeah, it was a little bit hard, I feel like, at the beginning. I have to imagine that it was a bit like having the flu, like comparatively, you know, to how Duck has always sort of felt. So I think that was hard to sort of get past. I think he has found his equilibrium again, and he has, I feel like he would have been training some still with Leo, but I definitely feel like his heart is not really in it. Like there is a sort of frustration, I think, because he finally decided to like actually do something with these abilities and he lost them, and all the work that he's putting in, all he can think is like, God, this would be easier if I still had those powers.
Yeah.
So it's like it is not with a joyful heart, but he just basically has no idea what else to do.
Okay.
I think.
I want to pick things up in Amnesty Lodge and kind of just like get the hunt going without much more delay. But before then, the previous night, last night, before sort of this hunt kicks off, you did have a dream, Duck. You obviously your powers have sort of left you, but you have a dream that feels very sort of familiar. So why don't you go ahead and roll weird and go on a vision quest?
All right, let me recheck my.
Yeah, what is your plus weird now? Now that you're a normie,
it's -1.
Yeah, well, that's par for the course. I feel like.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if you can get a good vision. Oh my God! You will never have a good vision.
Now, this is I rolled a 5, and you subtract 1 from that, and that's going to give you a 4 right there, just right off the
top. That's going to be one of those 4s.
One's a 4.
You had the one vision of you drowning. You had the one vision of a meteor.
So, Griffin, are you saying if he had rolled like a 12, he would have a vision of like sitting in an inner tube on a lazy river?
First of all, when you make a hard move, I get to do something bad. So it's not just like him seeing a vision of the future. It's me changing. It's me making something bad happen in the future and him seeing it. And also, like, if he rolls really good, he can get super helpful information that like he can know where to go in a pinch.
Like get in an inner tube on a lazy river.
Yeah,
my dice do not work that way. These visions are bad. The nice thing is I will be able to write this one off as a nightmare until it's too late, obviously, but it's not going to like ruin my day because I don't think I have powers anymore. So I'm like, well, that was nothing. Like, I don't know. All my teeth fell out, but that was just like a dream, so whatevs.
You are hunched over Leo's body. You're outside. You are on concrete in front of a big metal door going into some sort of like complex that you can't quite like discern because you're seeing it so close up. You are hunched over Leo, who is not breathing. And I think the vision is like not clear enough for you to see exactly why that is. And then your vision kind of pans out a little bit and zooms out, and you can see what you are sort of sitting in front of. You are sitting in front of the Green Bank telescope. You are dwarfed in scale by this gigantic telescope. I don't know if you've ever been there on a field trip or something when you were younger. Kepler's very close to Green Bank, which we like established in the setup episode. And the telescope, the radio telescope, is pointed like straight up. And as you are like, you know, trying to rouse Leo back to life, a beam of light shoots out of the tip of the antenna that makes up the radio telescope, and it shoots up into the sky. And as it does so, you wake up. All right, so let's get going. You all are at Amnesty Lodge, and I think like the thing that brought you there is this you know, massacre happened at the Little Dipper last night. And if you're looking for things that happen every 2 months that seem like, hey, a monster's here, like Ned, for sure, the Cryptonomica wagon, your like scanner technology that you have built into it, by which I mean, I guess, just a police scanner. I don't need to make it sound like some sci-fi shit. Definitely like picked up on this. So maybe it was you who like rallied the troops. But you all are together at Amnesty Lodge to start doing. I feel like maybe it's familiar for you all now. Like maybe it's old hat. Like every 2 months, okay, let's get together. Let's get the ball rolling.
Who is the goober who saw me and Mothman?
Keith.
Is Keith okay? Did Keith get killed? Keith has seen some shit, you guys.
We did not see Keith get killed in the intro scene.
Oh, so this is like one of those like, is he dead? Is he not dead? Well, you didn't see it happen on camera.
No, he's not dead.
Oh, okay.
I just remembered you never saw me die.
You never saw Keith.
You never saw Keith.
We can't. We absolutely can't. Fucking complete weird beard. So
like
Barclay,
we never saw Griffin.
It's a nice casual scene at Amnesty Lodge, despite I think the discomfort sort of floating in the air. Barclay has made pancakes for everyone that folks are enjoying. Agent Stern has been gone all day. He's been sort of you know, back on the beat patrolling the woods for any sign of Bigfoot now that most of the snow has cleared. He's trying to find Bigfoot, who is in the other room making
pancakes.
How is
he still getting funding for this mission?
Yeah, you assume that maybe maybe he's got some crowdfunding going on for his investigation of Bigfoot. He has been out here for what, like 6 months or so now? I forget how long we've been going. I think you started in the summertime, so maybe it's been closer to 8 months or so. It's February now, by the way.
He's been filming the entire thing. He's got a Patreon going.
That's what it is. He's making an indie flick. And you all are sort of like going over what you have heard about what happened at the Hornet's Nest. I think Mama looks kind of concerned anytime like somebody like just from the jump gets killed by one of these things. That's obviously very bad and a dereliction of duty to some extent. There is, as you all are sort of like getting ready to, you know, head out the door and start your business, there is a knock at the door, and Mama opens it, and there is Deputy Dewey. And actually just behind him in the parking lot, you see Sheriff Owens standing outside of the squad car. He's like talking on a radio. You all head over to the door as Deputy Dewey addresses you all, and he says,
"Oh, sorry, I probably should have just come in. I know this is a hotel. I just didn't want to be rude. How y'all doing?
Are you okay, Dewey?
What do you mean?
So, let's talk about the 718 last night at the Little Dipper Bar. My long-range scanners.
Whoa.
Indicate.
Whoa, Ned.
Wait, you're what?
My...
No, you guys, long range, you got a scanner.
No, what did you say? No, you mentioned the long range scanner. What's up, Dewey?
You got a license for a long range scanner? I don't know if
yes.
you need one. Okay.
Yes, I got it on the internet. There was a 246, a 2, I understand. Just wanted to find out how you were dealing with these things.
I always get my codes confused. I just call them all 911s, but yeah.
Well, they are usually, I mean.
Yeah, I do have a couple questions about what happened down the Dipper. Y'all, obviously, I guess y'all heard about it. Hornets got attacked. Someone came in the bar, just made a mess of things. We got two in the morgue and a few more down at St. Francis just hanging on. I don't know why I'm telling y'all this. Anyway, Hornets, it says they followed whoever did this up into your neck of the woods. Your actual neck of the woods here. And I was just wondering if any of y'all saw something last night.
No. I know that sounded suspicious the way I said it, but the answer is no.
Well, I guess what were y'all doing last night? Who was here? Are y'all like residents or?
Help out around the place. I'm the super. Well, hotels don't have supers, do they?
No, not especially.
I'm assistant manager.
Is that a role that Aubrey has more or less like filled since living here? I don't know how you're paying.
I don't know,
your
maybe. I'm just trying to think of a way, instead of saying I live at a hotel like the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, which is what I want to say.
What about Duck, Ned? Y'all got alibis?
We had a tech rehearsal last night for Saturday Night Dead.
I love that one.
We're showing Terror of Mechagodzilla this weekend. We've got some elaborate, you know, Tekkagodzilla puppets and stuff. So we were running through those, my staff and I.
Now, I don't know what this says about how successful Dad's performance is, but is that true?
What, the Terror of Mechagodzilla?
No, like, are you guys doing that? Do you have puppets? Were you doing a tech rehearsal?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. We just started the episode, Papa.
Listen, Ned's got a lot of complicated shit sort of floating around in his life, but he still makes time to put on his late-night horror puppet show.
I'm just saying, maybe these are the seeds we plant where the puppets of Mechagodzilla might come in handy later.
Yeah.
Me too.
You too, what? You were...
Yep.
All
me
right.
too. Yep. Me too. For both. Yeah, me too.
No. Duck, are you okay? You look like you need to use the bathroom.
No. Yeah, I do. Yep. Burritos. All right. Bye.
That's what Aubrey's going to do from now on whenever she can tell that Duck has to lie.
Yeah.
It's just prompt him to find a bathroom and hide in it.
It sounds like Duck's powers actually afforded him some deception ability. That now that that's gone, he is that just, he's at negative 10.
That's my weird. My weird is my ability to lie, and it's at a negative 1.
Yeah. Okay. So he says, all right. I mean, y'all aren't suspects. I don't know why I'm trying to come up with alibis. Guess I'm not. I'm still getting my head around all this.
Who beefed it?
I shouldn't say that. A couple Hornets.
I shouldn't say it, but.
I mean, it's honestly, I don't want to be yucky. It's kind of hard to identify them, but we'll, look it up in the funny papers, as they would say.
I went to high school with a couple of those guys. I'm just curious.
Did you know one that was like kind of lanky and that's about all, like brown hair, maybe?
Exploded.
I went to a smushy face.
Did you go to high school with a guy whose thorax was just smooshed?
He's all smooshed in?
Oh, Smushy Jones. Yeah, that guy's
Lanky
love
McGee.
That dude.
He's so funny.
Love that guy.
At this point, Sheriff Owens has like come up to join Dewey on the porch, and Dewey says,
well, do you mind if I just like poke our heads around, maybe take a look around? This is, I mean, we don't got much to go on except for the fact that we have spotted that we've placed the attacker somewhere up here late last night.
Dewey, you and I both know the law, and you know that you can't go poking around here with our blessing. We're not owners of this property.
Yeah, I don't actually know. It's a hold on. Hey, Sheriff Owens, are you allowed to just like go in and poke around if it's like a business?
And Sheriff Owens, who has my brain inside of him, shrugs because he doesn't know.
You can't just go searching for properties of a, like, I don't think you can.
Mama actually says, yeah, I'll tell you what, if you want to poke around, we'll go around with you. Just make sure that you get to see everything you need to see, all right? And she kind of gives the three of you a look, as if to say.
I feel like Mama is able to give, I was deferring because I feel like Mama is able to give a tour.
Yes.
At this point, that's like, looks completely legitimate.
For sure.
Doesn't like accidentally open the door to a room with pentagrams all over it. Yes,
exactly. Like, and maybe doesn't lead to the basement.
If this gets you off the case, then yeah, for sure. Okay.
Yeah, we're like Harry of Harry and the Hendersons fame isn't taking a jacuzzi yeah. with the Wolfman.
So Mama and Barclay start walking Sheriff Owens around, and Deputy Dewey's kind of just hanging out with you and the guests here in the lobby. And
hey, Dewey, I got a quick question.
I got one too. Y'all making pancakes? Damn.
Okay. That sounds like a weird kind of flirt, but here's my question. You said that it came up to our neck of the woods. Any idea what we should keep an eye out for? Any description? Anything like that?
It was a person. Hard to discern much else. It was real dark, and they was wearing lots of, I guess, concealing garments. Pretty big from what they said. And probably got a decent amount of blood on him. So I would hope that if you saw a big blood-soaked person in the woods somewhere, you'd know to call us ahead of time anyway. Those hot springs back there look nice. I might have to come bring the missus up here for a little R&R.
Gross. Do you want some pancakes?
Not if you're going to say that the idea of me having a romantic relationship is gross. I don't like that.
And he looks out the front door. He's just kind of, poking his head around. He says,
oh, it looks like you got a cellar over there, too. We should probably make sure it's clean.
You got to stay out. Green mold.
Green? Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, we have a team coming in to clean it up tomorrow. But for now, I mean, it's not as serious as black mold.
Whew, yeah.
Thank goodness. But we've been talking with the hotel administration, the HHA, and... yeah, we just gotta stay out of there, Dewey, for our own health, you know what I mean?
Yeah, let's roll plus charm on that one for a manipulate someone.
Okay.
Deputy Dewey's just trying to do his job. If you want to keep him from doing his job, you're gonna have to do it. Oh, no.
That was a 6. Hey, Ned, you want to help?
Yes, I will. Dewey, do you know about green mold?
No, what's it do to your body?
Well, let's just say it focuses on the area below the waist and above the knees. So as a married
wait a minute. if I walk into your cellar that it has green mold in it, it's going to mess up my wiener.
It'll target your genitals. That's
it goes right for them. It's bad news. And, as a married man, you've got to give that some thought, my friend.
I don't see why my marital status would have any effect on my sort of, my sexual congress habits, but go ahead and roll help out, Ned. We're starting this hunt off with a bang.
Come on, Ned.
Let's get the 555. Okay. That's 8. Okay.
Mm.
On a 7 or 9, your help grants them +1 to your roll, but you expose yourself to trouble or danger, which brings Aubrey up to a 7, a mixed success on the manipulate someone. They'll do it only if you do something for right now to show them now that you mean it. I think the compromise here is he says, all right, well, just like open the door and I'll like just look down in it and just make sure. And with that, I don't think he gets the angle. Like, he can't see Thacker or anything like that from the ground level. He says, are you sure? It just looks like a basement.
Don't breathe. Just don't breathe whatever you do.
Yeah.
Okay. He covers his mouth.
Is that a PlayStation down there?
Yeah, but it's just a PlayStation 2.
Oh. Y'all got Tamba?
No.
What is the point of any of this? I don't can please make the show start? What is happening?
And then a wolf man jumps in and eats his whole body. He bows.
Why?
He says, all right. They sort of regroup on the porch, front porch, and says, Sheriff Owen says, all right, well, if y'all hear anything, obviously you let us know. This is, we haven't had a, you know, a murder like this in Kepler in some time. So, I guess just keep your ear to the ground. Y'all always seem to be there whenever this bad stuff happens. So, you let us know. And the two officers take off. And Mama says, well, that was weird, wasn't it?
Should we, I don't know, go investigate? Yeah, that seems like a thing we do, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we usually do around here. I guess, yeah, it's probably time for us to start hitting the pavement. I guess what we know is a person, but it doesn't seem like it was a person. I mean, I'm guessing it's not just coincidentally somebody went and did some murders on the day that we were expecting an abomination to show up. I'm thinking it sounds like abomination M.O. Right. Little concerning that it dragged someone back up into the woods up here because we don't know what they seen. So,
Well, it seems to me like the smartest bet would be like the three of us go investigate the scene of the crime, as it were, and then maybe Jake Cool Eyes could go see if any of the Hornets will talk to him and give him any details or anything.
Jake Cool Eyes, who has been sort of like sitting kind of like staring into the middle distance in the lobby because like he used to be one of these part of this crew, says, if you don't mind, I'd like to maybe sit this one out. He looks super upset. He looks bummed out.
Hey, you got it, buddy.
Jake, how come? Why? These guys were pretty shitty to you last time, if I remember right. Why are you upset?
I mean, we would do like picnics together and fundraisers, and you know, we would do stunts. We would do these like late night stunt shoots where we'd hang out and have pizza and beer afterwards. And I guess some of them got murdered last night, so I don't really want. I'm not like really in the mood to go out and you know play detective. I guess.
And maybe if the spirit moves you, go check on the ones in the hospital.
Yeah, that seems doable.
You need a little time. I understand. Take a break. Enjoy yourself. Relax. Put your feet up. Us three superpowered beings, all of whom have superpowers, will risk our hides so you can, you know, make peace with the grieving of these guys you don't like.
Thanks. I think you were trying to be sarcastic, but I appreciate it.
I can't. I brought it back around to sincerity at the end. I didn't mean to, but I could hear it happening in my voice. I decided to roll with it.
Hey, everybody. This is Griffin McCurry, Dungeon Master, your best friend, and your Fungeon Master. That's right. I'm in charge of your Fungeon. What's that? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you when you're older. Thanks for listening to The Adventure Zone Amnesty. It's episode 21 and the start of our new hunt. I am looking forward to where this one's going to go. I hope it gets real spooky and real fun. Let's get into the ads. Oh, if you came out to PodCon, it was super nice to meet you. I'm assuming I met you because I feel like I met virtually everybody there at PodCon. It was a super fun time, did some fun talks, and I hope those who attended had as much fun as we did. Thank you to everybody who's been tweeting about the show using the Zonecast hashtag. If you do that, you might end up as a character in the show. About to meet a few new ones. I'm talking about folks like Bevan McSee, Tim Grimes, and a bunch of other characters from in the past have tweeted about the show using the Zonecast hashtag. Not the characters, actual people. Don't get it twisted. This is not a Purple Rose of Cairo situation. But anyway, thank you all so much for spreading the word. It really means a lot. This community just like it just totally bangs. I don't know what to say. It kicks ass. And getting to meet so many of you at PodCon was a real treat and a real treasure. Also, thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows there. They got all kinds of new shows. They got the JV Club with Janet Varney. They got the Jackie and Laurie Show, brand new show. And so many other shows, all at MaximumFun.org. If you want to see other stuff that we do or find out about new merch or new announcements for tours and stuff like that, it's all at our new website, McElroy.family. Justin and I are back doing Monster Factory. You can find links to that also there. And it's just a good homepage. Lock it in. Never change it. That's it. I'm going to let you get back to the rest of the episode. The next one is going to be up in 2 Thursdays, which is going to be... Ah, man. I have to check my calendar. I can't do the math of it from 1 month to the other. Let's see. Well, that's going to be February 7th. So I guess we'll just talk to you then. Bye. You all are standing in front of the Little Dipper, which is a, I would say, a sort of dive bar of somewhat ill repute down by Riverside, some ways down from where the Cryptonomica is. I think it's closer to like the east side of town, the shady side of town. It's sort
of... You just mean there's a lot of trees?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a literal, like, shade everywhere.
Oh.
It's a pretty small place, like, I imagine, like cinder block kind of build down sort of a path, and it's a bit removed from the main drag of Kepler. The scene is kind of a mess. There's crime tape? I think it's called crime tape.
Yes, crime tape.
Cordoning.
Let me check my resource guide here. Yes, crime tape.
It's cordoning off sort of the building, and there are still like a lot of bikes parked in front of the establishment that are all sort of, they've all been toppled over. And in fact, you can actually see like some blood on
Pee-wee
some of
Herman
them.
Pee-wee Herman was here.
Pee-wee did it. And yeah, there's no like... there's no like bodies lying around, but you can't really get close enough to get inside the building. What with the crime tape, there are a few like squad cars from the sheriff's department here, there are a couple officers who you don't recognize and who I'm not going to give a name to. I think that's there's like you're standing in a parking lot, and so there's still like trace amounts of snow that has been melted with salt around, and you can see like lots of footprints sort of going in the direction away from the building, and you also see like a pretty good amount of just red snow in, you know, a splatter coming out of the building. And standing sort of where close to your position, sort of off the road as you come in and outside of the perimeter of the crime tape, you see two hornets, two guys. One is a much bigger fella than the other one, both wearing sort of the the jackets with the hornet insignia on the back of it. The littler one of the two of them is sort of nervously smoking as you all approach. And that is the scene. Begin investigation.
Griffin, kind of the first thing I think, if I were Aubrey, that yes. Aubrey would undo, look around. Do I see any CCTV cameras?
Oh, interesting. Definitely not. Like, this is not that place. I do not think. Maybe it should be that place because of the type of patron who comes here. But no, I don't think necessarily they are going to have that.
What about? I want to look behind the bar. I would imagine a place like this probably has a weapon there. I'm curious if it was drawn or if things happened too quickly.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you actually like want to get in the building and look behind the bar?
Yeah, I think we're just going to go in there. Flash my badge to
he's the only one with a badge
at the door.
Okay, I like that justification. I think that the sheriff's deputies who because they're nameless, maybe there's so many people working at the sheriff's department that they don't know that you aren't one of them. They just see the badge and they're like, "Yeah, head on through."
Aubrey's going to stay out to talk to the two hornets.
Okay, and Ned, what are you doing?
I'm going to look around the grounds.
Okay. Just sort of in general, see what you can see?
Well, I want to look for drag marks. I want to look for any sign of the body being dragged away from the bar.
Okay. Doc, why don't we start with you? Because like you're going to get a lot of sort of info just like walking into the bar. Not that it's going to be especially useful info. It looks like a bomb went off in here. Like there are broken chairs all over. There are some broken tables. There's a big mirror sort of behind the bar, and that's just been shattered. There's a big sort of window leading out to the front of the bar that's been shattered. And in fact, as you get closer to those bikes, you can tell that like the glass went outwards and, it, you know, somebody was probably thrown through it old school saloon style and just landed flat on those bikes. And then like there's just a lot of blood. There's a shuffleboard table that is just like caked in it. This is I mean, y'all have been hunting monsters for a while. This is definitely like the grisliest thing you have seen since being in this business.
And this is like, would you say that this is a scary situation? Like, I don't necessarily 100% know that I'm safe in here.
I mean, since the sheriffs have been here for a while and like the perimeter's been set up here for a while and the blood's all like super dry, like you assume there's nothing, whatever did this is not here right now. So all right. I don't think you feel in a lot of danger.
Just trying to milk a experience point out of you, but that's fair.
What's the question? Because you, I mean, oh, Justin,
it is literally, if I go off by myself to check out somewhere or something scary, mark experience. I wouldn't necessarily...
Go ahead and mark it. I mean, Justin, if you walked into a fucking bar that people got killed in last night, I think you'd be
scary.
Fucking scared. Yeah, I don't. And right now, you, Justin, are as powerful, if not more powerful, than your character, Duck Newton.
Yeah, because I got exciting. A blue belt.
Yeah, you do have a blue belt. You could kick this thing. Yeah, go ahead and mark experience. And also, I think if you want to... Do this investigation you're talking about, go ahead and roll investigate a mystery for me.
Okay.
The stuff I just said, like you got just from walking in and you could see.
Son of
holy shit, Justin. That's a four.
Four.
A big four. Plus,
why do my rolls have to be
pull
mundane?
A luck, my
like,
dude.
Like, why do my rolls have to be mundane?
Yeah. You could drop a luck point. I think you, what's your sharp now that you're mundane?
One.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, a luck is the only way you're going to turn this into a victory. But I don't know if you want to.
This is, it's just to like investigate, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. But I can
take. It seems like very important, though. I'd hate to like.
Yeah.
I've never used luck. And I could get those back somehow?
No, your luck is a expendable resource. But I'm saying we're more than halfway through this campaign. You haven't used any luck. Like you're sitting on
yeah,
a
surplus. Yeah, you know what? Just this one time. Yeah. I've worked very hard to get in here.
Cool.
I've had to ration away a lot of stuff.
Okay, that bumps it up.
It's been a luck point.
Cool. You get a complete success. You hold two, and you get to ask one of these questions. What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? What is being concealed here? I love that there's advanced moves, which I don't think any of you guys have taken. I think you have to level up 5 times before you can take them, which you all probably are close to now. And the advanced move for investigative mystery is that you can ask a question. You can ask any question you want about the mystery, not just the listed ones, which seems a little OP. Ooh. Who did it? What is it? How do I kill?
What sort of creature is it?
Okay. A woman walks up to you wearing the sheriff's department sort of uniform, and she's taking some pictures of the scene as you walk in, and she says, "Oh, hey, I don't recognize you. Are you?" Who? Hey, who are you? What are you doing here?
My name is Duck Newton, and I am looking for information about what occurred here.
Are you a journalist?
I am a badged professional.
That's good enough for me. Nice. Yeah, it's a gnarly sight, huh? I've been working at the sheriff's department for few years now. I ain't never seen nothing like this. I didn't think stuff like this happened in Kepler.
Your name?
My name is Megan. There's probably a listener of our show named Megan. It's you. I didn't know that this character was going to exist an hour ago.
Because Duck's a rude piece of shit.
Yeah. I'm a Detective Megan, last name, and I'm here. You ever seen anything like this?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Not exactly to this extent of brutality, but I've got a little more experience than I'd like with sort of unexplained situations.
Talking about unexplained, I was down at the morgue. I helped sort of get the bodies down there. And it's one thing to, like, you know, murder someone. One of these hornets had a big, like, chunk missing out of his neck. And there's teeth marks on it. It looked like somebody just like chomped right down on him, had himself a little dude snack. And what kind of stuff you got to be on to do something,
heinous like that. I swear, I thought Kepler was different and you know, safe from stuff like this. But I'm gonna move back to Chicago. You know, I'm gonna move back to, that's not where I'm from, but you know what I mean. It's a figure of speech.
Yeah, back to Chicago, like they say.
I think that's as much as you're gonna get in here for what sort of creature is it? Since like the creature's not here, and
so but you, have what, you have down on the neck. Is that what we've established?
Yes, you have one more question.
Is there any reality in which what could hurt it? I mean, that's one of my questions, but there's just no... it just doesn't make sense, right? Like, no reality would make it have access to that information.
I mean,
can ask a different one that feels more narratively sound.
Yeah.
Megan, what... Detective Megan, excuse me. What happened here is as near as you can tell. I mean, did this thing just take these two guys straight to Chicago, or what? How did it all shake out?
We talked to a few people who were in here when the person came in.
And it was a person.
Yeah, it was a. What else would it have been? Duh?
I mean, wild animals. You know, this part of town.
I mean,
possibility.
From what I understand, this the perp acted like a wild animal. What with the dude snack, but just came in through the door. Didn't seem to be provoked. Nobody here seemed to know who they were. They came in and they just started killing and clawing, and people said that picked up a table like it weren't nothing. Threw somebody all the way across the room, like 20 feet, moving around and, you know, chucking people like they were Superman or something like this. But if Superman, you know, bit people, just came in here and did its killing. And then once everybody had taken off, they
right
took
back
flight
to Chicago,
right on back. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you you talking with me, Detective Megan. I'm going to let you get right back to Chicago, and I'm going to go talk to my guys over there in Chicago, and we're going to get right back to Chicago.
Yep, that was all correct usage of the idiom, so well done.
Buffalo, 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 buffalo.
Aubrey, you are back out in the parking lot, and you were going to speak to the two hornets that you saw, the big one and the little one.
Do I recognize either of them?
You probably saw them during the like ski trip sort of confrontation. They were definitely there helping make the stunt video up on Mount Kepler. Mm-hmm. But you're not like super. It's not, you know, it's not Hollis. It's not Keith. Yeah.
Hey there, fellas. How you holding up?
You know, I've been better. Are you like grief counselor?
Yeah, you grief counselor?
I do have some counseling experience. But right now, think of me more as your friend.
I could really use a grief counselor, I think, more than a friend at the moment.
Okay, then I'm a grief counselor, yes.
I'm just saying, we got friends.
Yeah, we got each other throughout all this. All I can say is we got each other, and I'm to thank the Lord for that.
That's absolutely beautiful. I am a grief counselor. What are your names?
Be careful, Travi doesn't always have names. Sometimes it's going to make you feel like a heel for asking names.
Well, my name's Bevan.
My name's
See?
And my name's Tim.
Okay, Tim.
Aww.
Tim, Bevan. You know, I find that with traumatic experiences like this, sometimes it helps to talk about what happened, because oftentimes we'll close ourselves off to it, not really let ourselves live through the experience. And that's where we get haunted by the past. But as we let ourselves discuss it, we can oftentimes break through that wall and make it something in the past rather than something we're still living in the present.
Are we going to get to talk to each other through dolls at some point? Because I've heard that that's sort of the main thing that you do.
Yeah,
I won't get to that, but you have to earn that. Okay. Bevan? You got to earn that with my trust. So how about first start by just telling me what happened?
Let's roll investigate a mystery. Is your I mentioned your magic eye power. That's for, what is it? The other one,
Read a bad situation.
Read a bad situation, right?
Investigate a mystery that's plus sharp. So an 8, so I get the whole one. So how about you tell me what you've closed off? What haven't you told the police? What's that thing where you're like, they would never believe this? You can open up to me. I'm here to believe you. And that question is what's being concealed here.
Okay. Yeah, I got a good one for that. Bevan looks around and says, you're going to think I'm telling tales out of school or, you know, just making up just poppycock. Yeah, it's going to sound like poppycock. But
Bevan, I would never. Tim, don't use that kind of language. Bevan, I would never.
So we were standing out front of a bar just sort of, you know, catching a lung full of that good smoke. Gross. From a cigarette. And I smoke a lot and I look cool when I do it. But anyway, we were out there in front with Hollis and we watched the person walk in. And I wasn't paying a lot of attention to them when they walked in, but it I did notice them, and they came into the parking lot, and it looked like a kind of I mean, I want to say small, but like everyone's kind of small to me because I'm a pretty big man,
the biggest man.
Okay,
yeah, thanks, Tim. That's sweet, but it's like this blonde lady, and she had a hood pulled up, but I could see some of her hair, and she was, you know, kind of just about Tim sized, I would say.
Blonde lady?
Yeah, she's the one that came in. And
Tim-sized blonde lady.
And she came in to the bar. I didn't seem to pay no mind. Hollis seemed kind of spooked for whatever reason. And then, you know, the stuff happened. And I was on my way out, and I doubled back because I was like, my bike. And I was like, I don't want to get torn apart like everybody else, but I do need to get my bike. And so I started to head back, and I saw her again, but this time, like, she was way different. Now she wasn't Tim sized. You're not gonna believe this. Now she was Bevan sized. She was huge, and she was different. She, you know, she still had her hood up, so I couldn't like make out her face a whole lot. But obviously, it was sort of a what's the word? Like a grim mask of death, and is like she's. You ever seen Transformers?
Yeah,
it's like one of those.
Another Transformers reference.
It's two and two episodes. Transformers are coming to this arc. I can feel it.
Yeah, they are so coming.
Hey, Bevan?
Yeah.
Could you see her teeth?
No. I was a little too far away from that. I mean, her face, what I could see, was covered in a lot of blood. So there's that. But yeah, that's all I got. So I got to say, I'm not feeling less grievous, I guess.
No, you've made a great start. Drink lots of water.
Great. Ned, why don't you, you're walking around the grounds. So you're just trying to, like, see what you can see, right?
Yeah, Ned walks around, like, behind the bar, like, around the edge of, like, the wooded area, and it suddenly occurs to Ned that he's not fucking Bindi Irwin and doesn't know a damn thing about looking for tracks in the woods and the ground. So he doesn't want to go back so quick because they'll know that he was a big failure. So he kind of leans up against the dumpster and starts munching on some Slim Jim that he had in his pocket.
What is going on?
And he's just
Ned's just taking a break from the game real quick.
And he's just looking around. I mean, just glance around. He knows he was kind of, you know, being all, well, look for clues and, you know, trying to impress his buddies. And
yeah.
And now he realizes he doesn't know anything about this shit. So he's just going to sit there, eat his Slim Jim, and after a few minutes, go back. And that's how he's going to investigate a mystery.
Well, then go ahead and roll investigate a mystery.
All right. 3.
Oh my God.
Plus,
well, that totally fits the narrative you've just set up.
Plus 2 for sharp.
Ah.
Is a 5.
So now instead of being a huge failure, it's just a huge failure.
It's just a big failure instead of a huge one. Man. Okay, I'm gonna do a hard move, and this is the move. And I will also give you a little something. You are standing here idly watching nothing, I guess, eating your Slim Jims, your dumpster Slim Jim break.
Ned, you absolute raccoon.
It's one of the, like, 3-foot ones that
you pick up. Yeah. You are sitting there just kind of idly looking around, and you see what looks like this, like, string of light that is just kind of hovering in the air, and it's super faint. You probably wouldn't have noticed it if you hadn't been, like, standing here for a while and, you know, seen the light change, the clouds move overhead, and notice this thing. And I think you only see it for, like, a little bit, this, like, little rift floating in the air. And as you start to approach it, something happens. You see this rift kind of just, like, open up, just, like, slightly, just, like, a half inch. And behind it, you see an eyeball looking at you. And then just as quickly as you noticed it, it disappears. You all are back at Amnesty Lodge to regroup with Mama and Barclay. Jake Coolice also went to the hospital and is there as you all are sort of gathering up all of your information. And I think he opens up and you can tell he's had a long, sort of difficult day. And he says, apparently the only a couple people got killed. But those that made it out didn't, I can't say they're doing super great. A couple of them got bit, and a couple of them kind of just got, beat up and thrown around and got some fractured collarbones and arms, and whatever did this, it did it, I think, with intent. So that's all I could get. Now I'm going to go and take a dip in the springs and just listen to some smooth jazz or something, because I need something to take the edge off. And Mama says, all right, so we got somebody biting people. We got super strength, and they turned big and scary and anything else?
Just FYI, I think Aubrey has specifically left out the blonde hair detail.
Okay.
There was an eyeball looking at me through a rift.
Well, that's peculiar, Ned. You didn't open up with the eyeball rift?
I was looking for the opportunity. I didn't want to just leap into it. I wanted to work it into a narrative flow, build to it, and then say something like, and a rift! I saw a rift!
Yeah.
Duck, you got anything to contribute here?
I mean, it's sort of been covered. With the chomping, got that.
Yeah.
It was on my report here that I took from, I was listening in with Aubrey, and it says one Tim-sized blonde lady. So that is the closest to a description.
Didn't say blonde. Kept that to myself.
Yeah, definitely didn't say that.
One Tim-sized lady, and no descriptions on the Vix, except that they got messed up pretty bad. Also, there was no provocation. I should mention also, this seems like just came in and started attacking people.
But does seem like intent. It like walked right into this
right.
place.
Doesn't seem like intentional. It doesn't seem like somebody picked a fight.
Obviously, like the reason you're keeping the description sort of concealed, Aubrey, is obvious, but like I think Barclay is, even without the hair color, like right there with you. He looks super nervous and says, okay, if it's are we talking about like an old school vampire? Because that could be kind of problematic. And I think he's just like looking at Danny while he's talking about this and says like, she seems fine. And like, I don't think she's been skipping her trips. I know it's not Danny, but like if the wind moves in that direction, if people start following clues, like she's kind of.
Hey, Barclay, we don't need to jump to Chicago, okay?
Okay.
There's still tons of information we don't have.
As you all are sort of talking about this, I imagine you're down in like the basement, the cellar, so that you don't drop any big clues in front of Stern. And the ceiling starts to rumble. You hear the sounds of motors outside, up above you, outside of the cellar in the front yard of the parking lot of Amnesty Lodge.
Thank God. The Fast and the Furious crew are here. Now we're saved.
And like really quickly, Mama and Barclay look at each other, kind of like weirded out, and start heading out to the surface. And as they open the door and you all kind of like poke your head out of the cellar, you are temporarily blinded by this row of bright headlights shining in your direction. And they all flick off one by one and you see what was hiding behind them. Parked in formation in front of Amnesty Lodge is a fleet of 20 motorbikes ridden by Hornets with Hollis at the lead. And they take off their helmet and approach the lot of you as you all kind of step out of the cellar. You see Keith just sort of just behind them. And Keith, as he takes off his helmet, looks genuinely, locks eyes with you, Aubrey, and then looks very scared. And Hollis approaches you all as you come out of the cellar and says, So you all heard what happened at our place last night, right?
Yeah. I'm real sorry about it.
Yeah, it's awful. So Keith told me everything about the monsters. Told me that you all work to fight them and keep it a big secret.
Hey, Keith, Hollis, can we talk to you over here just for a mo?
Hollis says, "I'm good. Just so like I'm new at this, obviously. But like, is the plan that you usually like keep us, you know, the rest of the town in the dark, and then?" After someone gets slaughtered, then you like step in to clean up the mess. Is that how the
that's been working? That's been working so far.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, good news. You don't need to know what I'm talking about anymore. You all are relieved of duty. We'll take it from here.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I am Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation.
Together, we host a podcast called
The Jackie and Lori Show.
We're both stand-up comics. We recently met each other because women weren't allowed to work together on the road or in gigs for a long, long time. And so our friendship has been unfolding on this podcast for a couple of years. Jackie constantly works the road. I write for Conan, and then I work the road in between.
We do a lot of stand-up comedy, and so we celebrate stand-up, and we also bitch about it.
We keep it to an hour. We don't have any guests. We somehow find enough to talk about every single week. So find us. You can subscribe to The Jackie and Lori Show at Maximum Fun. .org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, bye.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're the hosts of Everything's Coming Up, Simpsons. Every episode, we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright.
I got a D-minus, I passed!
And we've also had people that are on the Max Fun Network already.
We've had Weird Al Yankovic on the show.
I was just struck by how sharp the writing is. I mean, that's no surprise because it's The Simpsons, but I mean, like, you can't say that about a lot of TV shows, particularly ones that at that point had been on the air for 14 years.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, smell you later.